For Sunday school. It's time for Sunday school. So let us pray. Let's pray. Almighty God, we want to thank you because it is a privilege and an opportunity to be alive today. No one has done it but you. We thank you for our sleeping and our waking up. We thank you because we are able to come into your presence this morning to meet with you and not with any man. We know that we are here to be blessed of you. Therefore, the words that we will hear this morning, they will be blessings to our souls in Jesus' name. Your word that you speak to us, their spirit and their life, they have the power to create. They have the ability to turn around situation and circumstances. Even as we hear you this morning, Lord, let every situation begin to bow before you in Jesus' name. We decree liberty to your people, and we ask for the restoration of peace and joy in their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are welcome to church this morning. Unfortunately, many people fail to realize that Sunday school is part of church service. For some people, they try hard. Somehow, times have not been prioritized well enough to know that Sunday school is so essential that we cannot miss it. As I've always said, when the preacher comes to preach, we are not able to ask questions. But in the Sunday school, we have the opportunity to ask questions and correct impressions and to build our faith. So, it is a good thing that you are here this morning. As we look at the second part of God the Son. God the Son. Every child of God here will know that we talk about the Holy Trinity, made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We started looking at God the Son last week, and we have as our introduction the summary, just a brief summary of some of the things we said. We basically laid the foundation of why Jesus had to come. So we said God the Son is part of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity. And we learned that Jesus was neither created nor was he born. This is because he has been from the beginning. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the Bible makes us to understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In fact, the Bible even makes us to understand in verse 3 that nothing was created that he did not create. So the Word, Jesus, created everything. And we said that the fact that he had been from the beginning affirmed his oneness with God. And we said he came on earth as a demonstration of the kind of relationship we ought to have with God, and above all, to shed his own blood, because we understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9:22. And we also said, as an example of the way we ought to live, that the blood of Jesus could have been shed as a baby, and still they would have shed his blood. But that did not happen until he was about 33 years of age. We said the reason for that is because it has to be willingly given. Just like God expects us to willingly give our lives. So, if baby Jesus had died, it will still have been his blood. But there has to be that him subjecting himself to it. So it wasn't something that happened by accident. It was something that Jesus planned, agreed, and planned to do. And he did it. And God will see you through in Jesus' name. We said he took the blood without blemish. And that's the blood of Jesus. Because before then, different kinds of blood had been shed. The blood of bulls, calves, goats, rams, all sorts. And they were not enough, because every year people had to go back to repenting, because they would have gone back to their sins. But once and for all, our great high priest entered into the Holy of Holies and did the work of salvation for us. So, this morning, as part of our study of God the Son, we want to look at the mission of Jesus. His mission. The most important mission that Jesus came for was to restore man once and for all time. Like we said earlier on, many of us who have read the Bible, or we've had people tell us, we know that before Jesus came, there were different kinds of offerings. There were different kinds of sacrifices. You had sin offering, you know, thanksgiving offering. You had all sorts of offerings or sacrifices that people made. But the unfortunate thing about those offerings was that no sooner had people given offerings for their sins than they would go back into doing exactly the same thing. They had no ability to renew the mind of man. They had no ability to perpetually stand before God as a memorial. They were very, very transient. And so, Jesus came that he might restore man back to God once and for all. We all know the story of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. So what Jesus came to do was to restore that original relationship whereby God created man and asked man to have dominion and asked man to rule. From today, you are going to rule over your circumstance and your world in Jesus' name. This is because you have been restored back to your position of authority. I have a woman that have been a friend of the family for many years. This woman suffers from severe anxiety problems. So much so that she's been housebound. All her dresses, her clothing, everything she bought through magazines and internet and so on, she will never venture out. God has used us to minister to this woman for a very long time, and each time we tell her what Jesus has already done in her life, she will be afraid to venture out. tell her, look, Jesus has already done it. Yours is to take hold of it and just go and claim it. I know a lot of people who have been involved with her have given up, no longer interested. But God has helped us to keep, you know, encouraging her, speaking the word of God into her life and praying for her. Recently, about 2 weeks ago, there was a family gathering, and I mean the extended family, around Christmas. She went there. Yesterday, she sent me a message asking that I keep praying, because she wanted to travel to Mandra to attend the wedding and the reception, something she has not done for the past 10 to 15 years. And I told her, I said, look, all that needs to happen is for you to decide that that is what you want to do. Because whatever the enemy has taken from you, the Lord has given you the power for restoration. So she went last night and called me this morning, or I called her this morning to find out how it went. She was also excited. She said, all these years, I cannot believe that I'm able to do this. And I told her, look, do you remember how long ago I told you God has done it? And I asked her, is there anything different between now and last year? She said, no. What about 2 years ago? She said, no. I said, God had done it long, long ago. It's for you to just walk into that victory. The Lord will restore your joy today in Jesus' name. What happened was this. Before Jesus came, only a circumscribed group of people had the opportunity to enjoy that kind of relationship with God. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 17 to 24. Basically, what Paul is saying is there is this. He said, look, the children of Israel is important. Let's quickly read it. Romans chapter 11, 17 to 24. I want to share something with you there. Romans 11, 17 to 24. I can read for us. But if some of the branches were broken off, while you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among them to share the richness of the root and sap of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches and pride yourself at their expense. If you do boast and feel superior, remember it is not you that supports the root, but the root that supports you. You will say them, branches were broken, pruned off, so that I might be grafted in. That is true. But they were broken, that is pruned off, because of their unbelief, their lack of real faith. And you are established through faith because you do believe. So do not become proud and conceited, but rather stand in awe and be reverently afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, neither will he spare you if you are guilty of the same offense. Then note and appreciate the gracious kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who are falling, but God's gracious kindness to you, provided you continue in his grace and abide in his kindness. Provided you do what? You continue in his grace and abide in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off, that is pruned away. And even those others, the fallen branches, that is the Jews, if they do not persist in clinging to their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and against nature grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much easier will it be to graft these natural branches back on the original parent stock of their own olive tree? Basically, what the Bible is telling us this morning is this. The plan, The chosen people were actually the Jews, the Israelites. They were the chosen people. But God decided to cast his net wide and has brought you and I into the commonwealth of Israel, so that it is not only those who are born Jews biologically or be a Jew by name that are Jews, but those who have given their life to Jesus Christ. And God is telling us here that for us to stay in that place of authority, that place of restoration, we must not live a life of unbelief like them. That if God could resign or change his mind concerning those he originally had the plans for, how much more those of us that he has grafted in? God will not change his mind concerning you in Jesus' name. So we have been restored. And we are going to see some of the things that comes with that kind of restoration that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. So restoration is the first thing that Jesus came to do. Jesus also came to provide a link back to God. So we are not just restored, we have a continuing link with Jesus, with heaven. A continuing link with heaven. So the door to fellowship with God was shut in the face of man after the fall in Eden. Jesus reopened it not as a one-off event, but has kept open by the shedding of his blood. If you look at Romans 10, 11 to 12, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, since this is a Bible study, let's quickly read some of them. Romans 10. I want somebody, quick readers, let there be competition this morning. Yes.
On him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is to the rich and to all who call upon him.
Praise the Lord. So everyone who will call upon him. So even today, if anybody will call upon him, that door is still open. So it wasn't just then. Even now, that door is still open. If we will call upon him genuinely in faith, he says, neither Greek nor Jew, anyone who comes to him. And there is a particular verse in the Bible that I love so much. Acts 10:35. He said, for everyone in every land or in every nation that fears him and does righteousness is acceptable unto him. So if we will call upon him today, he will answer. And the Lord will answer you today in Jesus' name. This ensures that the blood remains efficacious, that is effective from generation to generation. Hence, Jesus remains truly, freshly the same from eternity to eternity. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. So that blood is still as efficient as it used to be thousands of years ago. And that blood will work for you today in Jesus' name. This ensures that this saving grace is available for application and reapplication. So in other words, you've given your life to Christ before. For one reason or the other, you have missed it. You are no longer the way you used to be with the Lord. Something is gone wrong. The wheel has fallen off. The blood is there for reapplication this morning. All you need to do is just go back to the Lord and be restored. And the door will be open to you again in Jesus' name. So newcomers are linked, and their salvation as valid as it was 2,000 years ago. So once saved, you can call on the Father over and over again with an assurance that the Father will hear you once you knock the door of heaven through the name of Jesus. John 16:24. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. He said, ask. And you know what? Your joy will be full this morning. Ask in the name of Jesus. So he provides an enduring and a continuing link with God. 3, his mission was to destroy the work of the devil while man is on earth. What that means is this: we may be saved, and the devil will continue to torment people until Jesus comes. But God has not just saved you to take you to heaven. He has saved you that you may live a life that is victorious. We will see some of the reasons He also saved you. I tell people, salvation is a package. Salvation is a package. It's not just to take you to heaven. It's also to demonstrate the glory and the victory of Jesus in your life. So we need Jesus to continue to live a life of victory on earth. As we know, the devil as a spirit is not dead, nor is he in captivity as yet. So that's why each time you bind him and cast him out, what happens? He comes back again. And you wonder and say, God, but I prayed and this, God answered my prayer and that thing happened. God, you healed me. Why is it showing its face again? Because the enemy will want to come back again. What did Jesus say about that? He said, if you cast demons out of a man, what did Jesus say? He said, they will go around, they will keep roaming around, they will keep come inspecting the place. So when somebody goes back to sin again, what do? They come. Do they come back alone? Times seven. They will now, and that is why you see some people will say, God healed me. And when the illness came back again, they have forgotten that it was God who healed them. And they become so happy that they forget about God. And when the illness will come back again, it becomes worse. And they say, oh, what did I do to God? God, why? You know, God is forever faithful. It is just that the enemy keeps coming back. And when he finds you not prepared, he sneaks in. And he doesn't come alone. He invites seven others. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. So we need Jesus to continue to live this life of victory, because there is one thing about Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, the devil cannot thrive there. Anytime Jesus enters a life, the devil will have to pack up his business, his wares, and leave, because there will no more be business for him. And I'm telling you, there will be no more business for the devil in your life from today in Jesus' name. He has to pack his load and go. Because Jesus specializes in destroying the works of the devil. Anywhere he finds the work of the devil. And that is why he has saved you. So that you and I, we do the same thing. Wherever we find the work of the devil, what do? We destroy it. When we see people who are in bondage, we pray for them. We counsel them. We bring the word of salvation to them. We see people suffering from affliction and diseases. We bear burden for them. We pray for them. We intercede for them. We speak to them. We let them know that there is a way out. We see somebody whose joy has been stolen. We go to them. We let them know about Jesus. Because where Jesus is, the enemy's business begins to crumble. That's what Jesus specializes in. He destroyed the works of the enemy. John 10:10 says, for the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil, is the thief. He comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. In other words, Jesus destroys the work of the enemy and releases you into a life abundant. You will walk in abundance from today in Jesus' name. Abundance of grace, abundance of joy, abundance of health, abundance of power, abundance of, you know, all that is good and godly in Jesus' name. Fourthly, Jesus came that the kingdom of God might be expanded on earth. God, by releasing Jesus, redeemed to himself many sons and daughters. And I want to let you know this morning that whenever we ask you to give, and you think it's some fairy thing we are saying, look at the example of God here. God had to give what he had in order to draw you and I to himself. By giving his only begotten son, he has many sons and daughters, you and I today. Praise the Lord. And because he has you and I, he also did something. He's appointed you and I as ambassadors of the kingdom. So not only are we saved, we are saved with a call on our lives to reach out, to disciple other people. So you can see how the kingdom will keep expanding. We just keep expanding. Can somebody quickly open to John chapter 1, verse 12 to 13? 12 and 13. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons and daughters of God, to them that believe on his name. Those that are born of God. Everyone who comes to Jesus, they automatically become children of God. But God had Jesus, only son, the only son before. And through him, God has brought as many of us as possible to himself. Praise the Lord. And you know what? For the kingdom, the trophies are men's souls that are priceless to God. They are priceless. That's why there's always a great joy in heaven when a sinner repents. So, Jesus came for the expansion of the kingdom. He has saved you, and he didn't save you to keep you just like that. He saved you so that you can go out and be an ambassador of the kingdom. You will fulfill your destiny in him, in Jesus' name. Also, Jesus came to reveal the mind of God the Father. You will know that all the prophets that lived before and after Jesus' physical sojourn on earth knew God either by revelation or by specific instructions. Jesus, on the other hand, was in heaven before he came on earth. He experienced God in his fullness. Can somebody read John 1:18? He experienced God in its fullness. Praise the Lord. The only begotten Son who has been in the bosom of the Father has declared him. He is the one who could declare the fullness of God. Every other person, what did Paul say? He said, we see in a glass darkly, like a veil on our face. So we only see in part, and we only know in part. But the Son who had been with the Father, he knows all. He has come to reveal the mind of God to us. So God will reveal himself to you today in Jesus' name. So, let's look at John 14, verse 1 and 2. John 14, verse 1 and 2. As part of the revelation that Jesus has of heaven. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. So this morning, God is saying to somebody here, I said, let not your heart be troubled. Praise the Lord. That where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus knew, had an idea of what was in heaven, and was telling people, he said, look, this is what my Father's house looks like. So come with me. No one else has ever seen that before. So he revealed the mind of God. Praise the Lord. Lastly, that's not all, but these are the ones we'll consider today. Jesus demonstrated the ability to live a life that is above sin. The life Jesus lived on earth was a demonstration of a victorious life, that it is possible to live above sin in our walk with God. Let's quickly look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. I want us to read Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. So what were we told to do there? He said, let's lay aside every weight and some of the little sins that do what? When he says besets us, that draw us back, that pull us down. Amen?
Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our
doing
faith.
What? Looking unto who?
Jesus.
The author and the finisher. In other words, that is the best that our faith has produced. You know what I mean? We have different schools, right? When I was in high school in Nigeria, we used to have a competition called Schools Challenge. I don't know how many of us can remember that, Schools Challenge. How many of us, and I know there are many teachers here, when you had to prepare students for school challenge, do you take the dullest students? You take the brightest, the best students to represent the school in the school's challenge. And the Bible is telling us that Jesus is the author and the finisher. That is the perfect example of our faith. And he says, do what? Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Because when you look unto man, that is less than perfect, what's going to happen? You'll be discouraged. You'll miss it along the way. Because you will take after them, and if they miss it, you are going to miss it. But when you look unto Jesus, our perfect example, the chances of missing it is very slim. And only very few things will discourage you because you are looking unto Jesus. For example, you come to church, you do things in the house of God, you come to pray, you are not one of those people who will say, look, oh, because sister so and so does this, I'm not going to go to church again because somebody look at me this way. When you come to church, do you come to see somebody? Who do you come to look unto? Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and you will meet with him this morning in Jesus' name. So he came to demonstrate a life that can believe in Christ Jesus without sin. And he was obedient. He was what? The reason he succeeded was because he was obedient. Can we look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 8? Philippians 2, 8. He did what? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of what? Of death. You know what? Your victory is in your obedience to God. You will be victorious in Jesus' name. So he saw his sole purpose as fulfilling the reason he was sent. He will fellowship with the Father and did the work of the Father. Even as we look at the Son today, so will our lives shine to the world in Jesus' name. Because the reason we are studying him is so that we know what our lives should be like. And I'm telling you, somebody who has always stumbled, from today, you will live a victorious life over sin in Jesus' name. Do we have any questions in regards to God the Son and his mission? Maybe you've always wondered, maybe you've always asked questions in your heart about the coming of Jesus and say, well, but why didn't God just do it this way? Why didn't God just do it that way? My heart has wondered too before. So please, do not be ashamed. It is better to ask and be well informed. And I'm telling you, other people in the house can also benefit from your wisdom. So please, in the next 1 minute, do we have any questions about God the Son? Remember that the reason you are going through this is because you are going to be teaching and discipling other people as well. So you need to be standing solid. You need to know what you are talking about. So ask questions. Okay. Can we just rise up and pray? We've heard the word of God. We've talked about the mission of Jesus. The first thing Jesus has come to do is to restore man back to God. Please, can we just close our eyes and bow our heads? If you are in the house this morning, you have never given your life to Christ, declaring Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Or maybe you've given your life before. For whatever reason, you are no longer living a life like that. All head bowed and eyes closed, can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God so that your blessings can be full this morning as we enter into the service? Can you lift up your hand so you can give your life to Christ and become born again, saved? So you can obtain your salvation here this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that sister. Anyone else in the house? It's very crucial before we go into the service. You will not miss your blessings. You are in the house. You want to give your life to Christ. Can you just lift up your hands properly, please? So we can pray with you. Can you just lift up your hand? You used to know him. You no longer know him. Can you just lift up your hand? We want to pray with you. Okay, let us pray. Can you just speak to the Lord this morning and say, Father, thank you for restoring me back to God. Thank you for restoring my life back to Jesus, to your Father. Thank you for bringing me home once again. Thank you for being the door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. Why don't you say, thank you, Jesus, for opening the door to me, that I know that heaven is accessible. Heaven is open to me. I thank you, Jesus. Thank God and say, Father, I thank you, Jesus, for destroying the work of the enemy in my life, so that I can live a life that is victorious. Thank you for even remembering me in your plans. Thank you for having me in your plans. Thank you for revealing the Father to me. Thank you for victory over sin. Thank you for the restoration of my joy. Thank you for the restoration of my health. Thank you for the restoration of my home. Thank you for the restoration of my peace. Thank you for the restoration of my children. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning. They have come in to set your people at liberty. For he whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. Therefore, everyone who has heard me this morning, I declare you free indeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every area of stumbling in your life, from today, you begin to walk over them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let your heads be raised straight and your shoulder straightened, because you walk in the victory of the Lord in Jesus' name. Defeat is a thing of the past in your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.